I think the recognition is really that in this time, in 2023, tech has pervaded so much of our lives. It's being built by the global north, it's being built by the minority, and it's being used and powered by the majority. Like, especially in Asia Pacific, there's so many data workers, tech workers that are doing the grunt work that train these tech tools that then benefit the pockets of people that aren't in Asia Pacific, for example. So that's one example of an issue that we're kind of, or several examples of issues that we're trying to look at.
Welcome to a special episode series of Pretty Good Podcast, recorded live at the Digital Rights Asia Pacific Assembly in Chiang Mai, Thailand.
Engage Media is here with hundreds of change makers from a broad range of sectors who have come together to build knowledge, collaborations, and momentum on digital rights in the Asia Pacific.
In this series, we are featuring a number of DREPAC 23 participants working across pressing digital rights issues. I'm Red from Engage Media, and without further ado, here is our episode. I am joined today by Char of Lumun Fund. Welcome, Char.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
And can you tell us about your organization?
Sure. So Lumun Fund is, as we know it, the first and only feminist tech fund in the world right now. We hope that to not be the case in a few years, or sooner. But essentially, we were started in the pandemic when so much of movement organizing moved online, and the existing disparities became much clearer and sharper for people who are living online, which is most of us, right? So the need for something that was focused on feminist tech specifically became much more urgent. So the fund was seeded in 2020 and became fully operational in 2022. Now, what we mean by feminist tech is tech that practices all the different principles of feminisms as we and other people understand it. It's a tech that is about equality amongst people, better access, equitable access, tech that cares about your privacy, tech that cares about your ability to express, tech that is safe, and tech that is joyful. So that's what we want to resource, and also what we think will be the thing that changes the world.
Feminism is quite the broad and complicated area.
Yeah.
But can you share with us some of the tech-related challenges related to feminism that your organization is aiming to tackle?
I think for us, we are driven by the partners that we work with. Our job is to support their work, right? So for example, we have a cohort of 43 grantee partners across the world because our work is focused in the global south, Asia Pacific obviously being a huge part of that. And so for example, we had a recent grant call last year, and the key issues were pretty much the same across all the regions of the world. Freedom and safety from violence, access to knowledge, and then I believe it was like tech infrastructure and development was a part of it, knowledge building. So people want to know, people want information, people want to be empowered by the information, and people want that information to make their lives better. People want to be safe from violence. So GBV is a huge one, especially online and digitally and technology facilitated gender-based violence, but we also acknowledge it's one of the more mature fields of digital rights and feminism and tech, the intersection. So we're also trying to look at less mature / less funded and resourced issues, one of which would be influence on climate justice, tech's intersection with climate, indigenous people in tech. I think the recognition is really that in this time, in 2023, tech has pervaded so much of our lives. It's being built by the global north, it's being built by the minority, and it's being used and powered by the majority, right? Like, especially in Asia Pacific, there's so many data workers, tech workers that are doing the grunt work that train these tech tools that then benefit the pockets of people that aren't in Asia Pacific, for example. So that's one example of an issue that we're kind of, or several examples of issues that we're trying to look at.
with your mention of the focus in the region, the Asia Pacific, let's go back to the DREPAC 23 assembly. Mm-hmm. I know you had a session earlier. Can you speak a bit about that session?
Yes, absolutely. So it's our first session, one of two. We essentially wanted to do a play lab. We love, as I said, like we want tech to be joyful and less intimidating, right? And we also want to look at alternative forms of tech, tech that fulfills kind of more of the feminist tech principles. So the thing that we were working on was a play lab on a Matrix instance. So we have something called matrix.feminist.tech. It's our own server in the Matrix world. And we wanted people to be able to try and get into it and participate in it and learn more about what Matrix means. So my understanding is, you know, our tech weaver is not here. So my understanding of tech is a little bit more of a layman's understanding, but essentially Matrix is a universe that hopes to connect all the different platforms that we use to communicate with each other in a much easier way, and it's open source. So what does that mean for people? Is it actually applicable? We heard an amazing sharing from somebody who participated about how they use Matrix, a local Matrix instance on Raspberry Pi within a mesh network. So they just use it for local chats in a rural community. And when I asked, does this work better than WhatsApp or Telegram or anything else? They're like, yes. So to think that something that seems so complicated for so many of us in that room, fair enough, there is a steep learning curve, is being used by people in a place that you wouldn't necessarily imagine as a place that is techie. So that was like a really interesting sharing that came out of it. So we had like a 2-hour play lab, hands-on, but then we also ended up talking about these issues around accessibility to tech.
And before I ask you about the next session that you're also going to host, I want to remind our viewers and our listeners that the blog post accompanying this episode will have all the relevant links that will define terms like the Matrix, terms like the mesh networks and all that. It's very useful, and it would be unfortunate if people have that tech barrier.
Absolutely. Language is such a huge part and parcel of tech, and is, as you, like, so glad you mentioned that about kind of language being a barrier as well for tech, because you end up using so many acronyms, so many names that people don't know what that means. Like, maybe people only know Matrix as the movies, and that's also fair, you know, and that was part of our presentation. Had a lot of like Matrix memes, Matrix the movie memes.
All right, and what is the second?
So our next session is focused on movement building as a key aspect of making change happen, and that movement building is a key aspect of feminist tech. That feminist tech is not like tech that is built by white bros, white rich bros over in Silicon Valley. It's supposed to be collective, and it's supposed to be kind of served by the collective and serving the collective. So we really want to talk about what is the state a feminist tech movement organizing in Asia Pacific. We know that it's happening. We know that there are organizations that are working on feminist tech issues, on infra development, on GBV, on other issues of digital governance, for example. But is there a movement that people can recognize and that people feel a part of and that people feel supported by? So we want to talk about that. And we also want to talk about thinking and ideating beyond conventional ways of resourcing. So we understand that money is at the heart of what we do, and that money is very complicated, and that money is not the only form of resourcing that any movement needs. So we also want to move beyond talking about just money, but also all sorts of resources. And how can we think about different models of resourcing the movement than what we have, which is maybe just a group of very rich funders and a group of very not so rich organizations and groups that get money from the funders and maybe don't ever continue to be sustainable because they're dependent on these kind of like one-offs. How do we kind of change that model? How do we imagine something that's different than what we have? That's a big question that I think New Moon asks in every space we're in.
And this is one space that you're in. Can you talk a bit about those sorts of conversations that you've been having in this assembly? Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you're already networking, attending other sessions. And can you highlight some of those interactions and conversations?
Absolutely. Can I mention that one of them was with your wife?
Oh, yes, that's okay.
I had a lovely conversation with her. She attended our play lab session. Anyway, I met this person through the session that we just had. They weren't able to kind of participate with the tech, but they decided to come back after going to another session to essentially ask about the play. They were like, what does it mean for you to use play in your activities and in tech? because their experience had been working with women's rights organizations and other groups that have a very suspicious outlook for tech, understandably. They think, that's not for me, that's too hard, it's not gonna serve any real purpose, I'm not gonna think too hard about it. So how do we use play to kind of make it more accessible, more fun, and less like something that's scary? And you know, sometimes you can't see tech, but you can play a game, you can play a card game, or something like that. And I had attended a session yesterday by Tattle that was also utilizing gameplay and had some very interesting conversations there. So I think I'm really hoping to kind of follow up that conversation, because we want to have more. What we have is something called the Feminist Tech Playground. We had the first instance of it at the start of 2022, and we want to use it as a model that other people can kind of build on and host regionally or in country. So this seems like a great opportunity to kind of expand that and make it better. And I was just having a very interesting conversation before you came up to me about the podcast around having a regional convening on OGBV. So that it's really exciting to, and that was like purely, these people had been talking for years and they were like, we want Newman Fund to be a part of this in some way. And we think this is important. And we were in a great conversation around like, the resonances, like New Moon has been having its own conversations around OGBV. Like I said, it's a very mature field. A lot of funding goes to GBV, and yet it's still such a huge issue. So how do we change that status quo? And what is not being looked at within this large umbrella of GBV? What are the issues that we're not paying enough attention to or like sending resources to? So I think this convening would be a great idea. And I love the idea of a convening coming up in another convening. I mean, I think, like, I know everyone's probably saying this, but I'm just gonna reiterate, like being in the same space as people, being able to bump into each other in the hallways and being able to like sit down and have lunch, it really changes what you're able to kind of do. And I think like as much as the schedule is jam-packed with such great sessions, it's all these in-between moments that are really like creating these moments of like opportunity for the future. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Char. All of that you've shared with me is so interesting. The playground. If I'm listening or watching this episode and I want to contribute or join or set up a playground, like how do I do so? How do I learn more about Newman Fund and your projects?
Okay, great. Yeah, so we are, our website is newman.fund, and on there you can sign up for our newsletter. We are still working on kind of kicking that off. We are on Twitter at Newman Fund, N-U-M-U-N-F-U-N-D. We are also on Mastodon, if you can find us there. And if you have any other questions for us, you can send it to info@newman.fund.
All of the relevant links are on the accompanying text, the blog post of this episode. Thank you so much, Char.
Thank you, Red.
Until next time, see you. We hope you enjoyed that conversation. If you want to watch or listen to more, go to engagemedia.org/podcast. Where all of the podcast platform links are on. If you want to watch the episode, go to cinemata.org. Thank you, and see you in the next episode.